Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Chicago Bears, they're 1-1, and they drafted Hope in this past NFL draft in the form of Justin Fields, the quarterback out of Ohio State. And it was announced today that Justin Fields will get his first start in the NFL. Here he is.
Andy is still battling through his injury. Like I said to you the other day, we're glad that it's not his ACL. We're not expecting him to practice today or to have him available this week. So he'll be week to week. Justin's going to be our starter, and prep starts right now. When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worrying about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. We're not going to get into that what-if game.
All right, that was head coach Matt Nagy basically letting you know that Andy Dalton's battling a knee injury. It's not incredibly serious, but it's enough to keep him out of this week's game against Cleveland, and he is on a week-to-week basis. Two interesting things, Rob. Obviously, Justin Fields getting his first start, and secondly, and what a lot of people are focusing on, Matt Nagy insisting that Andy Dalton, when healthy, will come back as the starter. And that's caused a lot of controversy. There are a lot of fans in Chicago. There are a lot of pundits that believe Andy Dalton should not be the starter and Justin Fields should be going, just like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones, and many of these other rookies who have gotten starting jobs. But he has been insistent that Dalton remains the starter. I don't know where the locker room is on that. You haven't heard players really come out and choose a side. But Nagy's insistent that Dalton's his guy. Where are you at on this, Rob?
I'm going to step and be with Nagy on this. And only from the standpoint, Chris, that I don't believe that he believes Justin Fields is ready and that he gives him the best chance to win. He might have the better potential and upside because we know what Andy Dalton has done. It doesn't make sense for a coach to stick with the guy who can't win or who's not good enough. Because, A, you have a chance of losing the locker room by putting in somebody who's not good enough. And there's got to be more. We don't watch practice. Chris, where do you win your jobs in the NFL? In practice. Why wasn't...
We're talking about practice.
Yes. AI. We are
not
talking about...
Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes. Hey, I got to tell you this. AI has one of the best voices. I mean, he just got it drips
that
with swag, Chris. Am I right?
Yes.
It's just
his whole persona.
His whole persona. And I got to know him a little bit. I had dinner with him once in New York in Detroit. We were cool. We used to talk a lot.
Right.
I think the guy's a great guy. I enjoyed spending time around him. I really did.
Yeah, I did.
He
a
has
big
a persona
story on him.
And, Chris, you've been around him. He's a nice guy.
He really is. You know what else, Rod? A lot, little known fact about AI. He's an excellent artist.
I didn't know that.
Yes. In fact, when I did a story on him in ESPN the magazine, he drew a photo. He would, on the bus, I hate to get on this tangent, but on the bus and on the plane, things like that with his teammates, he would draw caricatures. And he would have everybody in stitches because of these funny caricatures he drew. So he drew a caricature of himself for us with a microphone like he was rapping as an old man with cornrows.
Wow.
If I remember correctly. But he is a great drummer. He actually, Rob, no lie, he could do it as a profession. That's how good he was.
Now, yeah, when he did a caricature of you,
cartoons.
When he did one of you, what color was the hair he put in? Do you know?
He didn't do one to me, but it would have been golden brown. Let's just leave it at
all
that.
All right. This is my point. Nagy's on the hot seat, Chris. The Bears are in trouble. He needs anything he can. If he thought he had lightning in a bottle with Justin Fields, he wouldn't have to say, Dalton will be back and he'll be the guy. If Fields played well last week when he played, I don't think there would be any question. He didn't play well.
Well, I think to your point, Rob, here were his numbers. 6 for 13 passing, that's 46%. He had a 27.7 passer rating, and he threw for 60 yards.
This
so,
is what I'm,
he struggled.
He struggled. And, Chris, he might be the future. He might get there. But I'm telling you, anybody who thinks that Nagy's not putting him in for some other reason is ridiculous. Because this is a very results-driven business, Chris. What do I always say? Sports has a short menu. It's wins and losses. Nagy needs wins. The Bears need wins. And if Justin Fields was the best quarterback and gave them the best chance to win, he'd be playing.
A few things. I agree with some of what you said. First, I disagree. You like to say there's a short menu, wins and losses, when it fits your narrative. So that's number one. Let's just be honest about
that.
No,
I'm consistent. I told you a bread muffin every morning. I'm very consistent.
Secondly, I do disagree with you on Nagy's job security. I actually believe you believe that the best way for him to you believe that throwing Fields in would hurt his job security because he's got to win games now, and Dalton gives him the best chance to win. I actually believe throwing Fields in would help his job security, and here's why: when you throw in Justin Fields, you have the built-in excuse of he's a rookie. We lost because he's a rookie. Hello, look at Zach Wilson. He threw 4 interceptions in his first 10 passes. Look at Trevor Lawrence, the supposedly best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, if not before him. And he's an interception machine in his first 2 games, 5 picks. So rookies give you a built-in excuse of why you can lose. So that's where I think we disagree on that.
Okay, let me just jump in real quick. Both of the examples you gave have first-year head coaches with teams that didn't make the playoffs and had high draft picks. The Bears made the playoffs. The Bears aren't in the same situation.
It don't
matter. Chris,
it's still a
I know what you're saying, but it's not the same scenario because they got first-year head coaches who have – you're right. They're rebuilding those teams. The Bears are not rebuilding. They were a playoff team a year ago.
They were 8-8. They weren't rebuilding, though.
They're not rebuilding.
Well, yeah, but if you have a rookie quarterback playing, in many cases you're rebuilding. New England's not rebuilding. And I agree with you that they're not rebuilding, but that is an excuse. Now, ownership might not buy it, but I think you could go to ownership and sell that and give it a chance. And Nagy has said as much. He said, look, I'm not going to do something for my job security. I'm doing something to help Justin. Where I do agree with you, Rob, is that – and let me go back from the get-go. I was with Nagy. You got a decent team. You made the playoffs, as you said, last year. Dalton's a solid, decent, slightly below average quarterback at this point. If he's better, if Justin Fields takes the job, fine. I didn't see anything to lead me to believe he took the job. And so if Dalton has beat him out or at least maintained his job through training camp, then by all means, go with him. Dalton wasn't very good in the first game. Now, as we said, Fields wasn't great in his first game last week either, but Dalton really wasn't very good. He got hurt. So I think that now is not a bad time to have Fields play. But where I'm at on Nagy, I agree with you, Robin, that Nagy must be seeing something. He's seeing stuff we're not seeing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he sees him every day in practice. And like I said, to me, he has every reason to play Fields. There's other rookies around the league playing, struggling. So if Fields struggles, it's not like it's going to be he's the only one. Like I said, to me, it would give you an excuse. Maybe not to you and others, but it would give you an excuse for losses. But he must not feel that he is ready. And when you saw that game last week, 6 for 13, 60 yards, he didn't look ready. He didn't look ready. We have to understand this is not college. Everybody's, I mean, most of these guys are jumping
good.
Straight to the NFL, yeah, and lighten things up. So I think that Nagy is trying to protect Justin Fields. But I also feel this, Rob, quickly. I think he's just, you know, he's saying what you could consider the right thing. It's Andy's job. But if Justin plays well in these two games or what, however long Dalton's out, I believe he'll continue to start. And it kind of takes the pressure off Fields,
Rob. He didn't have to say that, though. But he didn't have to say that.
Well, to me, that takes the pressure off Fields.
To me, no. You don't even have to say that.
Because it's like he doesn't have to go out there like, now this is your team.
No,
but
he
didn't
all have to say.
And get benched. Like, if he gives the job to Fields now, and then and he struggles badly, and Dalton comes back, and they start Dalton again, then you benched Justin Fields. And that's tougher on the psyche for the rookie quarterback. Whereas now, if he doesn't play that well, it's like, well, we knew he wasn't ready yet. We're going to keep working him out and get him ready for when he's really ready to be a starter in this league. So
I think that's that overthinking sense. It. I really do. I just think you don't have to say who's going to come back in when they get healthy. All you have to do is say, Dalton's hurt, and he's week to week, and our starting quarterback is going to be Justin Fields, okay? And if somebody asks you to further notice or is he going to be the rest of the year, no, we're going to play it as right now he's
the
starting quarterback.
But he said it's Dalton. He didn't do that. He said
it's
Dalton.
No, I said that. I know. That's what I'm saying.
You saying he went too far?
Yeah, he didn't have to say that. It tells you about his confidence in Justin. Is that he gave himself an out. So when this thing doesn't work out, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't feel confident. Hey, the kid's got an opportunity. We're going to put him out there. He's a talented kid in college. Let's see what he's got. And we'll go from there, guys. That's all I know. That's all I know.
I think that would have been fine to say.
Right?
But he didn't. He
didn't
went
say
ahead
that.
With Dalton. Right, right. But I do think if he plays well, he'll keep the job.
But do you think there's some underlying people look conspiracy on why they don't want to play?
No.
That makes no sense, Chris. They drafted
him.
Right.
I agree with you on that. There's no way. Nagy needs wins.
Right.
Or he needs this kid to play well because he was involved with the drafting of him.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burris. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Tom Brady, 44 years old, off to a great start, Rob. 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They're 2-0. He's throwing for a bunch of yards. He was talking on, I believe, Sirius XM Radio. And he was talking about the game. He started off talking about a lot of more of these running quarterbacks today than you usually used to see. And he talks about that and kind of says the reason he believes for that is, or one reason, is because the game is a lot softer than it used to be. Here he is.
There's a lot of plays and hits that are happening on quarterbacks now that are flags for defensive players that probably weren't that way 10 or 15 years ago. So I'd say the game is a little softer than it used to be. You know, I think the defensive players are more on the defensive when they go into tackle. And I think that's probably adding to this element of quarterbacks outside the pocket and taking more chances, you know, than they did in the past.
Rob,
finally,
I agree with
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, he's totally right. And I would throw this in, and it'll be interesting to hear what his thoughts would be on this. We always talk about this, Rob. This is a follow-up question. I think the reason he's able to play as long as he has and be as effective as he still is also due to what he said, the game being softer. They're protecting quarterbacks more than ever. He's not a mobile quarterback. All right, so back in the day, Rob, he would be taking some shots, even if they're not sacks, you know what I'm saying? Some of those hits that come after you release the ball, those would be – he would be getting leveled.
Go look at what the Giants did to Joe Montana, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Go look at what the Giants did to Joe Montana. Like, smashed him. They smashed him. And back then, you could do all that. And you're right. If you're a quarterback and you try to do some fancy move and you get out of the pocket and they hit you, you might get 15 yards tacked on it. Come on. I dare you to hit me. Hit me.
Well, you're absolutely right, because you're kind of just going to go get in the quarterback's way, and then you're waiting for him to slide, right? I think, or go out of bounds. Rob, I actually think it's unfair, because it's all up to the quarterback. Like, if the defensive backs or linebackers or whoever they are charging at him but hesitant, right? Because you don't want to hit him as he's sliding, or you might get a penalty. But what if he doesn't slide?
What if he fakes like he's going down, Chris? Like, all right, I'm a fake like I'm a slide.
There has to be a penalty against that.
There has to be. Pop up and then keep going.
Check that out, because I hear you, Rob, because I've often thought about it. I wouldn't
like you know what I mean.
A lot of people have thought about it.
You make the motion like you're going to go down, and then you pop up and run and keep running.
But there has to be, Rob G. There has to be a rule against that.
I doubt it.
Because I would be doing it all the time. I have yet to see a quarterback do that. Have you seen anybody do it yet?
No.
But it would make sense. But, yeah, you give yourself up. I mean, so, yeah, you can't do that. But there's other ways. I mean, you don't have to. You can be subtle with it. You know what I mean? You can slow down a little bit, right? You slow down a little bit, you know, and then take off. Like, I mean, it is a big disadvantage for the defenders, and I think Brady, I agree with him, and I'm glad he actually acknowledged that. But I also think, Rob, that is also a reason, and we got to tell this to the young boys, because we know we have a lot of young listeners, right? And the young listeners, if they go to Pro Football Reference and they look at the stats of Roger Staubach, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, Terry Bradshaw, four-time Super Bowl champion.
These guys were
Joe
terrible.
Namath.
Right. These guys were terrible.
I mean, real talk. If you judged him by today's standards, you would be like, what? I mean, Joe Namath, who is a legend, threw Rob like 50 more picks than touchdowns.
Right.
I mean, he got 220 interceptions and 173 touchdowns.
But almost
all of his years, he threw more touchdowns than more picks than touchdowns.
But, Chris, you also looked up, I remember once, there are guys, quarterbacks, who had 12 touchdowns all year in the year.
Absolutely.
12, 14 touchdowns. Like, there were 14 touchdowns and 8 picks. That was their season numbers.
And you know who just did that? Andy Dalton. In Dallas last year.
Is that what he had?
Yeah, 14-8 in his, you know, that was the whole season, but obviously only started about half the year, a little more than half.
But you know what I mean? Like, those numbers that's what guys did. They ran the football. Jim Brown, the runners were way big of a part of the game. You threw on third down, Chris, when you couldn't make the 8 yards on a pass, or you're asking for too much. And, you know, I mean, when you can't make it on a run, so you go, like, we got a pass. It's third down and 8. Anything more than 6 and you got to pass. It's like a hit at blackjack. You know, there's a certain number. You got to take a hit.
Yep. And you mentioned Roger Staubach, Rob, 1976 Pro Bowl season for him. And this is right smack dab in the middle of his prime. 14 touchdowns, 11 picks.
See? That was a Pro Bowl year.
Right. Completed 56% of his passes. Now, here's the thing. They were getting hit as we said, a lot more. Quarterbacks were not nearly as protected as they are today. So that's one of the things. Rob, the receivers were getting hit, right? You go across the middle, your lights could be put out. Remember, Darryl Stingley got paralyzed.
Right.
Off a hit by George Atkinson, I believe, from the Raiders.
Yeah, that was, was ugly, man.
Oh yeah, and God. I was a kid playing football and, you know, thinking about that, like, wow, you know, this dude.
I know that was part of why I never got to play football. My mom was against it.
Your mom wouldn't let you?
Wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
Nope. Because back then it was about kids being paralyzed in football. You know, you see it on the news and you read about it. And she was like, I can't do it.
Right.
That was her thing to me. So I wanted to be a wide receiver. I was tall. I could catch, Chris. You know what I did? Right. I wanted to play.
Right. Yeah, you definitely were tall, and that would have been an advantage. So it was just a different game. So don't look at the numbers of these guys and compare them to today's players and say, oh, they were no good. Remember there was actually a reporter, Rob, who did that a couple years ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And put up that Ryan Fitzpatrick had more touchdown passes than Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was great. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You don't put him in the same sentence as freaking Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't care what his numbers are. Exactly. Right. I don't care. Totally different game. He had Emmitt Smith there, Chris, who ate up a lot of touchdowns because he could score in the red zone from there, right? He didn't have to throw the ball in every time. You don't have a running back now. You don't have guys like that. Not everybody has a running back who can get in, like an Aaron Jones. And what did Aaron Rodgers do, Chris? Like instead of a handoff, you just flip him the ball. It's almost the same exact thing.
The passes are like handoffs now, right?
It really is.
It was routine for the best running backs in the league, and there was several that were getting the ball 20 to 30 rushes a game.
Yes.
Like Derrick Henry, it was five guys getting that many carries in the league every weekend, you know, and so
it was about Barry Sanders, not about the quarterback for the Lions. Am I right? It was Barry.
Absolutely. Oh, the running backs were, I would say the running backs were the bigger stars.
Right.
You know, some quarterbacks too, but running backs were the huge stars and they won a lot of the MVPs. Like now it's pretty much all quarterbacks.
And now it's all quarterbacks.
I'll say this too, Rob. Remember because I used to watch all of those highlights. You know, videos like football, those hour long.
From the frozen tundra, you know, like those things with John Frusenda. Like Chris, like you couldn't, the guy had the greatest voice in the way, with the marching music, boom, 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 and the frozen tundra of Green Bay, the Philadelphia Eagles marched in. Right. You know, it was great.
No, it was awesome. But they used to, Rob, some of the hits back then. Most of the hits in those highlight videos are illegal now. Right? And I love the hits. I mean, I want the guys to be safe, obviously. But so many of those great hits that we grew up watching, Rob, have been taken out of the game. So these are all the reasons that I do think it's part of why you have more running quarterbacks. I think there's been a change in philosophy and people are also more open to it. But I think that also the fact that you're not going to take the shots that you would have taken back in the day. I also think that's a part of why Tom Brady and other players are able to play much longer because they're not taking as many hits either.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Urban Meyer, as we know, it's been tough sledding for the football, college football legend.
Oh, it ain't that easy in the pros, huh? Ain't that easy?
Right, he's finding that out, right? So they're 0-2, of course. And not just tough sledding for him, but Trevor Lawrence as well, who's got five interceptions, I believe. So anyway, after their loss to the Broncos, of course, the coaches meet at midfield and, you know, they exchange pleasantries. And Vic Fangio, the coach of the Denver Broncos, here's what he said that Urban Meyer told him after that game. This is the NFL. Well, this is Vic saying it. This is the NFL. I don't know Urban Meyer at all, really. I met him the other day, shook his hand before the game and after the game. And his comment to me was, every week is like playing Alabama in the NFL. That's wow. It. Everybody's capable of beating everybody in this league. Rob, quickly, a couple stats for you before you weigh in. Urban Meyer, in his whole tenure at Ohio State, where he coached, I believe, 7 years, he never lost more than two games. Now, of course, they're on the verge of starting 0-3. They play Arizona. So Arizona is obviously
a pretty
good team.
They got a good shot to lose that game.
Absolutely. Really. So they could go 0-3, losing more games in the first 3 weeks than he lost in any of his 7 years at Ohio State. So, Rob, your thoughts?
You took the $12 million a year. You got the first pick. What did you think? Hello, is this on? Urban, go. Did you do research and look at the coaches who have left college and come to the NFL and basically then left with their tail stuck between their legs? It ain't a piece of cake like college, where there's only a handful of teams and all the other teams are just fodder for you. You got that
and
job for a
reason. Literally go out and get the best kids.
Right.
Literally.
Literally. Right? It ain't like that in the pros. Ask Steve Spurrier. Ask Nick Saban, the greatest college coach ever. Ask him when he ran from Miami. Couldn't do it. And now you're like surprised? This is a shocker that it's going to be a rough road? No, hey, Pete Carroll, we get it. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach.
Yeah, I'm not putting him in the college coach
category. He's not
category.
In that because he was already.
I mean, he had his great, great success there, but he was an NFL coach first.
And then
struggled.
He went to college and won at USC and then went back to the NFL.
Right.
And then, Chris, we'd have to go all the way back to Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys 25 years ago when Barry Switzer took over for him, right? Those are the time when college coaches were winning NFL Super Bowls.
Right.
But since then, the cupboard's been bare and dry.
And that was, what, 29 years ago. Yeah, look, for the coaches you mentioned, Steve Spurrier, great college coach, lasted 2 years in the NFL with Washington, went 12-20. Bobby Petrino did well in college. Goes to the pros, last 13 games, Rob, at Atlanta.
Is that all it was?
13
wow.
games.
That's right. He had Nick some other Saban. Issues going on, didn't
right,
he?
Right, right. Well. Nick Saban, you mentioned, and I agree, greatest college coach ever. 2 years at Miami, goes 15-17. And now you got Urban Meyer. Here's what I'll say, and this could be, maybe this can be some inspiration for an Urban Meyer, Rob. You mentioned the most successful guy in recent memory, right, that we can think of who made the transition from college to the pros, and that would be Jimmy Johnson. And here's the difference between Jimmy Johnson and the rest of these guys. Jimmy stayed through the hard times. Jimmy didn't show up in Dallas and all of a sudden everything was great.
No,
they were
Chris.
1-15 his first year. He stuck in. He hung in there. And, they were 7-9 his second year. They hung in there. 11-5 the next year, but still don't win the Super Bowl.
No,
it was
they
his
lost
fourth year.
They got their butts kicked by the Lions and Wayne Fonts.
There you go.
With Troy Aikman and all those guys and Emmitt Smith, Chris, those guys were all on the team. The Lions won that playoff game.
It was his fourth and fifth years, Rob, that he won those Super Bowls in Dallas. Then he did go to Miami, coached for 4 years. It's great. He made the playoffs 3 years, but never, you know, got near
got
a Super Bowl
again. Right.
So that's the difference, Rob, is that Jimmy Johnson hung in there. None of these other guys lasted 3 years. So I don't know. Look, who knows what Urban's thinking?
Hey, you know what? They tweeted out Sports Illustrated. Did you see it, Chris, or no?
No.
Sports Illustrated tweeted out The quote, a lot of good players in this league, man. It's Alabama every week. And then the tweet from SI says, how long will Urban Meyer last in the NFL? Question mark. Already, Chris, that's off of that quote.
Oh, yeah. No. And I get it. And it's not even like – it's not – if he leaves, it won't be an indictment on his character. I mean, it is what it is. I get it if a guy who all he's done is win just can't handle the losing, Rob. Just can't stomach it. You're just tired. You're like, look, I can go back to college and I know I can win. I know the formula there. Do I really want to stay here and lose 12 games every year? You know? If he does that, you know, and goes back to college, it'll be fine to me. But I would say to him, look at Jimmy Johnson. Because it's going to be rough this year, Rob. They might go 1-16.
You know
what? I mean, that's possible.
And you remember, people were thinking that the Texans were worse, Chris, and some other things. And no, Jacksonville looks bad. The Jets look bad. Those were the two worst teams a year ago.
They look like the two worst teams in the league right now. Yep, absolutely. And so, yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. If you ask me, Rob, you put a gun to my head, I would say that Urban's going to get tired of the losing.
And, does he last 1 year or 2 years? I don't think he's quitting after doing it.
No, I definitely think he lasts a year and goes into the second year.
And then
I'm going to give him 2 years.
I think
unless
that's
Trevor
fair.
Lawrence turns, unless they turn it around next year, maybe win 10 games or something.
10 games?
I know.
That's 10 games, my butt.
Hey, it is the NFL, you know. You never know. But what's your guess? How long?
I think 2 years is right. I think that's about it. And they'll be bad 2 years. And you know, I mean, it'll be really bad this year. Next year, they'll win a few more games because just from progress and Trevor Lawrence, you know, figuring some things out. But ultimately, Chris, it's not. They're not going to turn this around to the levels that he wants. And he's used to. So he'll be like, I don't know if I could just do this anymore. And I think 2 years, he don't feel like he's a total quitter, like he, you know, he bailed out on everybody. And he could be like, 2 years, man, this just isn't progressing. Or, you know, I want to be with my family or the health thing. You know, like whatever you got to do, you could get your way out of it after 2 years.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And Rob, he's already had a bit of a comeuppance because he's found out, you know, in college he could do absolutely whatever he wanted to do.
Not here.
He found out you can't hire this strength coach from Iowa.
You can't.
Right? That maybe is your
boy.
You
can't put Tim Tebow on the team who's your next-door neighbor and friend. You can't put him on.
It's not happening. And so that's part of it, too, is you got so much control in college, Rob, and you just don't have that in the NFL. These are grown men making more money than you, all right? And you got to know how to deal with that. So it's going to be interesting to see how Urban Meyer handles this. But, you know, Rob, midway through this season, if they're like 1-8, my goodness, it is going to be interesting to see where his head is at.